It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the Del Olalea Show. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ with you here on a bullpen takeover of the Del Olalea Show. Del back on Monday. Sean and I will again be in on a Friday, and then tomorrow Raheel will be in because, I mean, a little peek behind the curtain. The boss is here like, hey, do you guys just want to host all 5 days? And I look Todd and Joe right in the eye, just like I'm looking this camera in the eyes, that there's only one man in this town that can for 2 hours break down a preview Texans Raiders to the fullest extent, and that man is Raheel Ramzanali.
Good job.
Yeah. Were you a little nervous that I was going to, because he changed the name of his pronunciation. He changed the pronunciation of his last name.
I could see the
there was a look in my eyes like, wait, which one are we going with? Which one are we going with? Okay. The old way or the new way?
Yeah.
Ramzanali.
Yeah. And for the good of the town, the city.
Yeah. No, there's only one man that could preview Texans Raiders for 2 hours.
Yeah. And the city.
No one could do it like Raheel Ramzanali.
Whoa.
Did it again. Look at that. Now I'm just flexing.
You leaned in.
Now I'm just flexing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the good of the city, we step down to let Raheel.
You going to say it?
What?
It's his last name.
Ramzanali.
Yeah, you were much more confident than I. You were just like, yeah, it's like this is old hat.
I didn't say it this because it's just so, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just like I could do this in my sleep. Are you kidding me? But speaking of the Texans, from all reports, Sean, including one that called it a definitive win, the Texans had a great practice yesterday. Really, the only negative that seemed to come out of it was the, and we don't know how serious it is, in part because the Texans won't tell us if it's serious, but there's apparently a leg injury to Jaden Higgins. That would be obviously a big blow if it's anything that cost him regular season playing time, because the Texans are expecting him to be their number two wide receiver. But other than that possible setback for Jaden Higgins, it seemed like the Texans, for maybe more so than any point this offseason, have got fans excited.
Yeah, and I think it helps that it's a joint practice, that there is like a measuring stick in a practice that you can definitively win. You know, if for every other practice they have or have had this summer, it's, well, you know, it's either a win for the offense or the defense, and then you have the conversation, is it good if the offense keeps winning against the defense? Or
I definitely had that thought. It's like, if the offense has a great day, it's like, oh, should I be worried about the defense? They take a step back.
Exactly. Like that one video, I think it was last week or the week before, where it's like the entire defense is like huddled around and Will Anderson's giving them like a full pump-up. So I was like, the Texans offense made them do that? Like, I can't believe it. But seeing against the Raiders, A, because it's the Raiders, B, it's just any other team.
Just any other jersey.
It's easier to take as like, oh, yeah, they're better than these guys, especially that you have outside beat writers and outside reporters that cover the Raiders chiming in, and not just, no, you know, the usual suspects,
right,
of who's on the Houston beat.
Yeah, we'll start with the local side of this. I mean, our own DJ Bienemy, he's the beat reporter for ESPN, comes on the station quite a bit. He was, of course, out of practice. Some of his notes, we'll also get into the Raiders' point of view, a couple of people that follow the Raiders, what they saw from the Texans. And then probably next segment, we'll run out of time here, but Fernando Mendoza went full Fernando Mendoza with his quotes after practice. Yeah. I think I'm fully now on the side of not laughing at him because he's corny, but I just enjoy it because it's funny to me. Because he's still corny. He's still very corny, but it's more like laughing at him. Now I'm kind of more laughing with him.
Yes,
like,
I'm
enjoying this. This is great. Yeah. Give me more Fernando Mendoza mansplaining football to me. You know, the offensive line have to block for the quarterback, and the receiver has to get open for the quarterback. Like, literally, that's a part of the quote we'll play in a little bit. He explained football to us.
By far uses the word synergy the most out of anyone that talks about football in 2020.
The only thing you're missing, and you're also going to miss it here because this is also a audio medium, but the whole hand thing he does or bringing the fingers together, there's lots of that in the videos if you watch those. But from the Texans' perspective, DJ Bienemy, the beat reporter for ESPN, out of practice yesterday, one of his first takeaways was, and this came from D'Amico Ryans as well, which when it comes from just D'Amico, it's like, well, he's going to pump up everybody, but this is coming from the beat reporters too. It's coming from people that follow the Raiders that haven't seen the Texans since, you know, they walked off the field against New England. So it does have more validity. But according to DJ Bienemy, D'Amico Ryans said that CJ Stroud did really well today, being yesterday, and added that he had nice plays all day. Like, that was one of the common themes that I read, that he was able to hit guys pretty much the whole way. They were able to protect against the Raiders, other than Max Crosby getting a couple sacks. But it looks like the Texans offensive line and CJ Stroud overall had a pretty good day against the Raiders defense.
Yeah, and again, it must be like taking a batting weight off facing a different defense, especially in a practice setting. You know, it's a little different even going from practice to games, just still being in a practice setting, but instead of the Texans defense, it is the Raiders defense. Like, you got to feel more comfortable if you're CJ Stroud back there. And yeah, it is nice that I don't know what it would take for D'Amico Ryans to get on a press conference podium and be like, CJ Stroud sucked today.
Go full Cam Moore instead of if we're keeping a buck we ask.
Yeah, not even have to go that far, but just to go, you know, it was a struggle today. You know, like, he just will never do that. So.
And we actually did, like, a rare one, and, like, it wasn't specifically about CJ, but we heard that, like, maybe I think it was literally day two of training camp. He talked about, like, we took a step backwards with the pre-snap procedures, you know, getting to the line on time and things like that. So he did give you something there, which probably lets you know how bad it was that day. But to your point, like, I think this did mean a little more because it was backed up by other observers. Mm-hmm. Continuing along with what D'Amico Ryans said, apparently, this is again from DJ Bienemy, ESPN beat reporter for the Texans. The running backs were the highlights of both joint practices. Both David Montgomery and Woody Marks had nice runs. And I think how great David Montgomery was, other than how great the defense was probably the thing I kept seeing most. Like, if it was Sarge, if it was DJ, if it was Jonathan Alexander, if it was Raiders people, it's like everyone was raving about David Montgomery.
Yeah, it's another one where it's just like, great.
Checks the box.
Yeah, great to see, especially with Montgomery having, I don't know, maybe we can have a short version of, like, what do we really expect from David Montgomery this season? Because it is his first time as, like, he is the as feature the,
well,
back.
Since Chicago.
Yeah, he is the feature back here and not Jahmyr Gibbs, where he was kind of the two in that one.
Obviously, this milestone means less because of the added game. But, I mean, I would expect 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's kind of my expectation. Now, I guess, depending on how much they end up working it with, or splitting it with Woody Marks. Last year, David Montgomery splitting, being the B to Jahmyr Gibbs A, was, I think he was like 770 yards, right around there, just south of 800. So, I think with the increased workload, because he was also under 200 carries last year, I don't think he's any way, as the Texans A, getting less than 200 carries, unless the split with Woody Marks is far more even than I anticipate. So I think Montgomery is right around 1,000 yards, like 8 touchdowns.
Okay.
That's kind of my expectation.
Yeah. I'm looking up Joe Mixon's stats in 2024.
He was like, what, 1,100 yards? Of course, he missed a couple games because of the hip drop tackles.
Yeah, in 14 games, he was 1060.
1060?
11 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's kind of, well, maybe not 11 touchdowns is a little lofty, but I do expect about 1,000 yards from David Montgomery. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Now, where Joe Mixon was able to help the Texans more than what I expect David Montgomery will is in the receiving game. Now, maybe, I mean, there was an article, I think it was Jonathan Alexander, talked about how the Texans want to use Montgomery is a pass catcher more than he's been used in the past, but that's kind of, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Both because that's never been what Montgomery's done, really. and because CJ just doesn't really throw to the running backs. Like, we haven't seen him do that. Like, yeah, he's had guys that could catch it. Singletary could catch it. Mixon could catch it. He just – Woody Marks was, I think, coming into college, a receiver that converted, right? Or at least he was a very good receiving back.
He was a receiving back.
Mississippi State and then USC. So he's had guys that could catch the ball, but he just doesn't throw it to him.
Yeah, yeah. That is something that I'm looking – yeah. Montgomery's not really a – receive like a threat out of the backfield. It would be very surprising.
I'm not expecting. All right, one more note from DJ Bienemy. We'll move on to some of the Raiders' reactions here. No surprise here, but specifically on the defense, and of course the pass rush was great as well. Those notes were out there as well. But DJ said the run defense still elite. Raiders haven't had much success running the football today, and I read that as well. That like apparently Ginty has some success coming out of the backfield as a receiver. Linebackers had a difficult time staying with them, so that is maybe a note. We did see some of that last year.
Yeah.
The receiving backs giving the Texans linebackers problems, so maybe
Broncos
that is
game,
right.
Bucks game.
Yeah. Bucks game for sure, yeah. Bucky Irving was giving them issues. So that is definitely something to watch for if you're keeping any sort of, you know, eye on a potential flaw in the Texans defense. But otherwise, like, apparently the run defense was stout once again.
Yeah.
And they added to it with Kaden McDonald again and Sheldon Rankins back.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, again, this falls into like check and I believe it because it's the Texans defense against the Raiders offensive line or offense as a whole. I mean, I guess, you know, they have pieces on that offense, but for the most part, last season, it was not a functional unit at all. Going up against the Texans, like, yeah, it's about what I expect. It's a hard day for Ash and Ginty.
Yeah. Ice up, as Steve Smith once said. So we'll get into the Raiders POV, and there's been some online hand-wringing about a back-and-forth between C.J. Stroud and a media member from another radio station here in town. We'll get into that and some of the fun Fernando Mendoza clips going around. But before we go to break, Sean, I'm curious because everything's been sunshine and rainbows about what the Texans did yesterday against the Raiders, but we still have to kind of like – it's the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like how much – if at all, did this seeing the like outpouring of my God, the Texans dominate them? Is that move the needle for you at all? I guess more so on the offensive side because the defense is okay, locked and loaded. We'll see you in September.
Yes,
no notes.
Yes,
but has this moved the needle for you all? For you at all with your confidence in the offense?
I would say a slight positive. Like it's always just good to have a good day, kind of situation. It's like okay, yeah, they are capable of doing this. Like that is good. But ultimately, you know, for the offense, for the defense, for the Texans as a whole, like I'm just going to need to see it in the regular season for everything.
That's
you know,
kind of
like,
where I'm at.
The Texans measuring stick on defense is, can you shut down Josh Allen again? Can you shut down
Joe Burrow,
Dak Lamar. Prescott? Yeah. Can you do that in September? Like we're going to learn a lot more in September than we will in August. And so I think it being positive is a positive, but there's only so much I can go. It's better than a normal practice, but it's less than any actual result.
Yeah, for sure. Like
is it better than a preseason game? Kind of depends on who plays.
Yeah, because there was more of it, right? Because in a preseason game, they're playing a series or two. Like they got more reps and time in this practice than they will in the preseason game tomorrow. I think where I'm at, defense, like you said, like nothing, everything remains the same. Like they're just great. They're going to be a top 2 to 3 defense at worst, along with Denver and Seattle. I think on the offensive side, like CJ just kind of to me, like, okay, I don't feel like he's gotten worse. And he kind of checked the box that it's possible that he got better, but I can't really commit to that until, to your point, we see it in September. I do gain a little bit more confidence, though, in the run game, just because it was so bad last year, being able to run the ball when they had to, being able to run the ball when the other team knew they had to, you know, the third and ones, the goal line. It was just so bad to hear, like, everyone raving about David Montgomery, Woody Marks, this offensive line, pushed him around. You know, and it carries forward the idea of them addressing and adding to the identity of the team. Like, we're going to go get run-blocking offensive linemen. We're going to get a tough inside runner in David Montgomery. And then you see the results in this padded scrimmage against the Raiders. It kind of tracks with the idea of being, or at least gives me more positivity and confidence that what they tried to go out and accomplish, they actually did.
Yes, it's like a, you know, just a little – plus five on the on the quiz. You know, it's not like it's not anything huge, but it is like you said, especially with that specifically. I agree with that.
I'm trending more positive on that. Yeah,
yeah, to separate that out because we have like even like CJ Stroud, like we have seen him be good in the NFL before. So it's
against the Niners last year, he was great.
Yeah, so it just like having a good practice is like the fact he didn't throw five interceptions yesterday. Like
did throw one on that apparently a wheel route to Woody, but
yeah. And the Raiders, controversy.
The Raiders DB linebacker, can't remember, got a little saucy, spiked it, got up in Woody Marks' face. Yeah, yeah so maybe things will get a little chippy tomorrow.
Yeah. It's good to hit someone else for once.
Yeah exactly. All right. On the other side of the break, we'll get the Raiders' point of view, including one person who follows the Raiders who is calling the Texans a Super Bowl contender. We'll also hear from Fernando Mendoza, the quotes that just the present that never stops, and a little bit of hand wringing with CJ Stroud and an answer he gave one of the media members here in town. That one, the bullpen takeover, the Dale Olea Show returns, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back into the Del Olalea Show, the bullpen takeover of the Del Olalea Show. I am Brian McDonald, joined by Sean Mapes, AJ Russ. If you want to reach us on the HRP listener line, that's 713-780-3776. Call or text if you want to talk Texans. We'll get into the Astros later, but I couldn't give them first billing today. Not after what they did last night. They demoted themselves.
I was going to say,
I believe in relegation on the show, Sean.
We've reached the point of the season where it's like, Astros kind of need to prove
they
got to
earn
a spot.
They got to earn the A spot. Yeah.
It is still training camp, but, 3 weeks?
It's football time in Houston, Sean.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
They're ready to play.
If they keep this nonsense up,
they might get relegated hour two.
Yeah.
They might get hour two today. We'll see how it goes. Make sure to keep that that number in hand, the HRMP list line, 713-780-3776, because in hour two, probably about 11:30, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the ESPN 97.5 listener party once again. St. Arnold's, Friday, August 28th at 6:30. Food by Nifa's, Ducky McSweeney's, and Tiff's Treats. So you make sure you be ready for that. We'll play Will AJ Know Again. AJ's going to take a third swing. He's 0-2 so far on these trivia questions, but we're going even further into his wheelhouse, I think, with this question. So we're giving AJ a shot here. I don't know. You want to handicap it for anyone listening and thinking about calling in at 11:30? First day, you were 50-50.
Yeah.
And he missed it. I think he slid to 60, or was it 55-40?
I think 60.
60-40 in favor of him missing. Where are you at with this one?
I'm slight positive. Because
you know the question.
I'm slight positive.
You're slight positive?
He's a 2.5-point favorite.
There you go, H.A. Sean believes in you.
Home
both
field.
As a man nice. And your ability to get this question.
Home field advantage.
Home field advantage. All right. We got a caller on the HRP listen line. Let's go to Sean.
Hey.
Not this Sean. Another Sean wants to talk. This is the Del Olalea Show. We could talk about TV shows. What do you got for us, Sean?
Hey, good morning, guys. So a couple weeks ago, Sean, he had a big rant about the way the House of Dragons was going,
yes.
And he was absolutely right. Absolutely right. There was nothing going on at all. And then at the end, on this past Sunday, I was like, okay, we got a new one coming up. Womp womp. No, there was nothing coming up. There's nothing. That's how the end of the cut. That's how the end of the show.
Nice catch.
I don't know, man. And then we got to wait till, 28 for the new one?
Yeah.
And then also, there's a show on Hulu, Furious, that's pretty good. I like that one. But it's every Monday. They got a couple more episodes. All right, that's all I got, guys.
All right, thank you for the call, Sean. Credit to Sean for saving himself there. I thought AJ was going to have to jump on the dump button there for a second, but he caught himself. I've heard great things about Furious, Sean. I haven't started yet. Have you?
No, I haven't.
It's definitely on my list, but right now I'm watching Reacher.
Because
as Sean has pointed out, that's very much a show that fathers by a larger margin watch than non-fathers.
I'll
you called it a dad show?
Most fathers in my life, including my literal father, really love
really,
it. Really
I love Reacher. I'm a father. Joe's the father. He loves Reacher. It's a great show.
Yeah.
It's a great show. We'll talk more about Reacher. I've I've in not so subtle terms told Michael he needs to catch up on Reacher so we could talk about it on Friday.
Great.
Michael will join us for his usual spot, 11:30. 11:30 usually.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Mutiny. Michael and I saw that last night, the new Jason Statham movie. Now that I've also seen the end of Oak Street, and you and I are on the same side of this debate, we're going to ambush Michael.
Okay.
Try to tell him why he's not fun for not liking End of Oak Street. Yeah. I don't know what Michael's problem is for not liking End of Oak Street. Dinosaurs, man.
I know.
Obi-Wan's fighting dinosaurs. What's wrong? How could that movie possibly go wrong?
You have to ask.
Yeah, no fun. We'll ask Michael on Friday at 11:30 why he hates fun in good times.
I have fun.
You hate fun. Go away. It's not Friday. How dare he interrupt our show?
I think Raheel's also having him on Thursday.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Actually, Michael mentioned that. It's like, am I coming on your show Friday? It's like, I think I'm doing it with Raheel. Pause. But I was like, yeah, no, we'll still have you on Friday as well, so we can ambush you about End of Oak Street. Also saw another movie yesterday. This segment's gotten away from us, so we might as well keep going, and then we'll get into the Texans Raiders next segment. I saw another movie yesterday. Sean, you're going to shake your head as soon as I saw it. Or as soon as I tell you what it was. But it was one of those deals where I get done with the show at noon. I got to meet Michael at 7 for Mutiny. So I have really nothing to do in between. My wife and my kid aren't home. I live like 45 minutes away. I'm not going to do that drive.
Yeah.
So I just was at the Regal Marquee for like 8 hours. End up watching End of Oak Street. And this is the one you'll shake your head on. I ended up watching Brink of War.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a movie about the Cold War and the negotiations between Gorbachev and Reagan.
For
the nuclear de-escalation.
Yes. Okay.
I was like, Sean's going to hate this movie. If I mention anything about it, he's going to call me an old boring. But
I mean, this is an old man's movie.
Yeah, but it is. I got to say, because this is the second time I saw a movie by this group that. I think it's called Angel Productions. This is the second one from theirs I've seen. Both times I've been, by far, at the age of 42, the youngest person in the theater. By far, Sean. Like, literally no one else under the age of 65 is in the theater besides me.
I mean, it is about the negotiations between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. It's not the most shocking thing.
No. Like, because I was alive at that time, but I was a very young man who had no idea what was going on. I figured it happened exactly as I saw in this movie.
I mean,
I don't know why J.K. Simmons and Jeff Daniels would have changed anything from what actually happened. I took that as a documentary, but we might talk about that with Michael on Friday. Probably not.
I hope not.
It'd probably be Mutiny, End of Oak Street, some Reacher, and then whatever nonsense Michael wants to talk about. All right, Texans Raiders on the side. We'll get back into it. Sports, ESPN Radio 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back into the Del Olalea Show. Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes filling in. We'll be in Friday as well. Raheel in tomorrow. AJ joining us behind the glass. And if you want to join in the conversation, if you want to talk movies and TV shows like Sean did last time, sure, call in. We'll take those calls.
In the spirit of the show.
Yeah. We will effort sports, but if you want to interrupt us with talks of Jason Statham movies and Reacher, that's fine. We'll go that way. But hit us up, HRMP listener line 713-780-3776. Same number you'll need for your chance to win listener party tickets coming up at 11:30 with Will AJ No. But getting back to Texans Raiders, Sean, we talked about the Texans beat writer point of view, which was all glowing mostly, other than there's like, you know, the talk of that one CJ Stroud interception and the Jaden Higgins injury. That was really the only downside to yesterday's practice. But taking it to the Raiders' point of view, which I think adding this on makes what the Texans beat reporter said even stronger, because it's backed by someone who has no reason to talk glowingly about the Texans. I mean, they live thousands of miles away. They see the Texans once every 4 years, right? So first from JT the Brick, who I don't know if he's ever had his show on this station, but he's a national radio host, has been. I think was a part of Fox Sports Radio. I know he was a part of the national airwaves over on 610 for a time. He's kind of bounced around, but you've probably heard the name. I think he's a former caller into the Jim Rome show. But he's a guy that covers the Raiders. He was in town for yesterday's practice, and he had this to say about the Houston Texans.
I really believe that you have to look at this Houston team as a Super Bowl contender. This could be the best defense, the number one defense in all of football. They are stacked on the defensive line. They are stacked at edge rusher. They have linebackers who can play side to side, but their secondary is very impressive. They just look different. They're big and they're strong and they're ball hawk. Not that the Raiders don't have that, but the Raiders do not have the secondary of the Houston Texans. Not even close. So for the Raiders, as they were going up in drills on defense, and the Raiders were going up against some of the star players for Houston, I didn't see him get exposed. But you can tell Houston is good to the point where they're borderline great. This is going to be a tough team for anyone to beat. If I had to choose in their division, and Jacksonville was really good last year, very good team, I'd go with Houston. I believe after what I saw today that Houston is better than Denver, and they're better than the Chargers. So good luck beating this Houston Texans team.
All right, from JT Brick's mouth there, you hear it, Super Bowl contenders. He has them better than Jacksonville winning division. I guess he was just throwing in for context of teams they face, but he has them better than the Chargers and the Broncos, but two playoff teams. Yeah, so yeah. I guess that's not a completely out of left field throw in there. But now I will notice, because I did notice, that he stuck on the defensive side of the conversation. Like, all he's like, hey, they got one of the best defensive lines. They got the best edge rushers. They got linebackers who can roam side to side. They got a great secondary. They got one what could be the top defense in the league. I didn't hear a single word about the offense. Yeah. So that is something that stuck out, which, you know, I mean, we cover the Texans. We kind of...
You get it.
Yeah, we get it. I don't got any crosswords about it, right?
But it's also like... They have the best defense, great pass rush, great secondary. Their offense, serviceable. Because like, that is the formula.
That's really the bar. Yeah. Like if it was, if they were serviceable all the time, they would have been the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
If C.J. Stroud was serviceable against New England, they would have had a chance to face Jared Stidham to go to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, that is the bar that they're shooting for.
It just doesn't make as good for a one-minute clip.
No, you're hyping up. Best pass rushers, great linebackers that can fly all over the field. One of the best secondaries in the league. Stroud's there, too.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you want?
Hopefully he can game manage.
But JT the Brick thinks the Texans are Super Bowl contenders. I hear that, and I hear other people say it, especially when it comes from someone outside that has no reason to pump them up. It does take a little more weight. But at the same time, it's like I see it and I feel it, but it's like in the back of my head, it's still five fumbles against the Steelers, four first-half interceptions against the Patriots. Like it's always that nagging thing of, sure, if CJ can game manage, like you said, but like I don't know. I find myself stopping short of calling them that because I just see the huge obstacle for them to overcome of what level does CJ Stroud play at.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between, like, intellectually, I can, like, yeah, they are one of the best teams in the AFC, but
maybe that's the difference. Like, yes, they can contend, but will they?
Yes. Yeah. Like, you cannot pick, or, you know, it's hard to pick them given what, I think it might be harder for people in market to pick them to be a Super Bowl contender than it is outside. Because all we have talked about this offseason is C.J. Stroud. Like, you just focus on – where if you're, you know, either like J.T. the Brick, he does a show on the Vegas
– VEASAN?
No, he does it on their whatever, Home of the Raiders.
Oh, Home of the Raiders, okay.
I forgot, 920, I think.
Sure.
It's easier for him to be look at this team. Oh my God, you know, like, and same thing with you know any national voices you hear. They do their homework on all these teams and they look and they're like, yeah, this team like by far the best. And what makes it easier is that Seattle just did it last year,
right?
With the quarterback,
the blueprint's
that,
there.
Quarterback that probably has had less. Like, I don't know what you want to call it. Equity? Less, like,
less regular good faith. Season highs.
Yeah.
Less, regular like, season highs.
Less belief in them with Sam Darnold. And they lifted the trophy, whatever, in February. So yeah. You can see it. But if you, you know, live in it every day and you're just like, man, this offense. Like, what is going to happen with this offensive line, with C.J. Stroud, with Nick Cayley, with a receiver other than Nico Collins. Like, there's a lot of
one of which
marks.
Just got hurt.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of question marks. So I can see why, you know, for you and for me, frankly, like, I'm not going to pick them to make the Super Bowl. Like,
no.
It's hard to, like, get over that hump, especially, you know, this is not fair to the 2026 Houston Texans, but the last, you know, this is year 25 of the Houston Texans, still have not actually gotten over that hump at any point. So
one of four teams, I think, to not make a Super Bowl. Jaguars, Browns, Texans. I think there's one more.
Lions?
Chargers have made it.
Lions?
Yeah, the Lions haven't made a Super Bowl. I think that's it. I think that's the list.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of teams like the Browns, the Lions, that made like a bunch of NFC or right. NFL championships.
Right, but like just, Super Bowl, yeah. Right, yeah. And the Lions were in the NFC title game, I guess, 3 years ago now, but they obviously that was the year they lost to the Niners. So some more takeaways from people who cover the Raiders. Sam Warren, their beat reporter from The Athletic, some of the things he noticed from the Texans out at their scrimmage yesterday. Texans defense got a lot of pressure, making both quarterbacks uncomfortable. Lots of sacks coming from both sides of the offensive line. Yeah, that's about what I would expect. You got Kirk Cousins, old, can't move, Achilles injury 2 years ago, and a rookie. They're going to face a lot of pressure from the Texans defensive line. So no surprises there, but it's always nice to see. Fernando Mendoza was nearly picked by Kamari Lassiter in the red zone period and then threw a pick six to Jalen Petrie two plays later. There's also, I believe, a Cam Bullock pick six that I saw, which it's sometimes funny to call it a pick six because they kind of just break away and then everyone stops.
Once the interception happens, like, you might get a receiver that kind of like slaps at the ball.
It maybe jogs for a few steps,
but the entire defense runs to the other side of the field.
It is whatever. Texans had success running the ball against the Raiders defense. Woody Marks had a couple of TDs, which is nice to see that or hear that about Woody Marks, as we've heard all the glowing praise for David Montgomery, but apparently Woody Marks looks pretty good as well. The only real negative that they've mentioned is it's kind of what we already talked about. Apparently Max Crosby had a couple sacks, so there were some moments. For some reason, now they rotated the offensive linemen, but I saw Stressens put out that the initial offensive line that they put out against the Raiders included Blake Fisher, right tackle. So there is some detail there that we need to know of. Who did Max Crosby beat?
Yeah.
Because if he beat Blake Fisher, okay, whatever. Like, I know that guy's a bum, you know. No offense. Well, actually, offense. I mean, he's not going to offensive line.
That was a little offensive.
But if he beat Trent Brown or Braden Smith, then, okay, well, that may be worth something worth noting, because that's someone that you expect or hope will take a lot of snaps for the Texans.
It's also Max Crosby.
It's like, also an all-pro.
He's going to win some.
And then we mentioned earlier, but Quay Walker had an INT against Woody Marks running a wheel route. C.J. Stroud threw it to him. So those are the only real two downsides. So even from the Raiders' perspective, which would have no reason to pump up the Texans, like, very few negatives to point out from how the Texans performed in the practice yesterday.
And they are, you know, they are Raiders focused, so maybe they're not paying as much attention. But with the coverage of the Raiders, you can glean things from the Texans.
Exactly.
And it seems like it was a tough day for everyone in silver or black except for Max Crosby, which that's kind of the
that
Raiders.
That kind of tracks, right?
The last couple years.
Last three, really, Max Crosby's entire career.
Yeah, that is true.
It's just kind of Max Crosby and, now Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
And there was these didn't show up in any of the notes, but there was a video going out on social media yesterday. Brock Bowers had a sick catch over Kalen Bullock, jump ball. I don't remember if it was
Cam Coleman-esque.
Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't one-handed, but it was just kind of up high in traffic over Kalen Bullock. I don't remember who the quarterback was, if it was Mendoza or Cousins throwing it to him, but it was a hell of a catch by Brock Bowers. So, I mean, the Raiders, from everything I heard, like, it was Max Crosby got a couple sacks, Brock Bowers was sick, Ashton Jeanty was good in the receiving game. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the highlights for the Raiders and what they have had over the last couple of years. So no real surprises there. All right, let's go ahead and get out here on the other side of the break. We'll get into that C.J. Stroud exchange with another media member here in town, and also play that Fernando Mendoza audio. Have some fun with that, because he went full on Fernando Mendoza explaining football to us. That one, the bullpen takeover, the Del Olea show returns, ESPN 97.5.
The This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back in. ESPN 97.5, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes filling in for Del Olalea. Del will be back on Monday. Raheel's in for him tomorrow. Sean and I back on Friday. AJ Russ with us behind the glass. So yesterday, it was obviously overall a lot of positive vibes, Sean, out of the Texans-Raiders joint practice. But one of the things I saw some people getting a little, I think, unnecessarily worked up about online afterwards was an exchange between Seth Payne, obviously a host at another station, former or original Houston Texan, over 10 years in the league, or exactly 10 years, I think it might have been. But he asked C.J. Stroud a question about his mental prep and how it may have led him to feeling more confident this season, then leading to him playing better, including yesterday. And so C.J.'s answer, I think, caught some people off guard. Let's go ahead and hear that.
C.J., was having been in the system for a year and kind of knowing what you know now, did you have to – was there a lot of mental reps in the offseason of just going through the process of running the offense? Because everybody we talked to says you just feel – you seem more confident in the offense.
Yeah, I think it's year two. You know, that happens. I mean, I think no matter what system you're in, if you're going to do it year and year, over and over, you're going to get better at it. So I feel like I've gotten better.
What does that look like? Like in the offseason, are you just kind of like mentally going through the process of everything too, like above and beyond just – growing with your guys?
More so it's like working on yourself, your body, and you know, footwork and that, those things, and then you come back to OTAs and when you start, you know, getting into the deep of like the scheme and whatnot.
So a lot of people took that answer from CJ Stroud as he's not preparing on the mental side of the game, which when you hear his answer and you think about it, like he starts off saying that, hey, it's year two in the scheme, I'm going to know it better. I mean, that is a mental side of the game. And then he also mentions like working out in the offseason, getting his footwork right, working with his coaches. And then once it comes into OTAs, again, working on the scheme. To me, that's also a mental side of the game. So I don't get why people take that answer as CJ not working on his mental side, but it feels like a lot of pearl clutching for no reason, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. It seems.
Did you have the same reaction?
I had basically no reaction to this. This
felt like a nothing burger, right?
Yeah, it was just like CJ Stroud didn't. He didn't answer the question that Seth Payne was asking, but not, I
felt
almost,
like Seth was trying to set him up for a softball. Like, hey, yeah, I've been really reps. Back in the books and like, studying film and all that. And, like, CJ didn't answer the way he wanted it to, so Seth tried to re-ask it and still didn't get the answer. And then people, I think, are taking it and make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, yeah. Because initially, CJ's just like, yeah, it's year two. It's easier. Year two in the same system. It's just easier than year one in that system, which is, like, a perfectly fine answer to that. But, yeah, I almost would like to be like, hey, Nick Caserio several times has called this the best off season of your career. Like, what went into that?
What went into that? Well, according to Caserio, it's just that he's there and he's healthy.
But I would like to hear CJ Stroud say,
I'm here and I'm healthy.
Because I'm here and I'm healthy. But or just whatever actually happens that makes it the best. And I think, you know, that question would then, you know, you might get an answer that shows you some of the mental stuff that he's worked on. If he has, you know, at all passed, just like, you know, when I'm here, we work on scheme, you know.
Yeah, like, maybe this is me showing blind faith in C.J. Stroud in this regard, but I just cannot believe that an NFL quarterback now going into year four has gone through the entire offseason without working in some way on the mental side of the game. Now, that may not be, like, I think Seth Payne was almost mentioning it from, like, visualizing, you know, thinking through, like, what he needs to do pre-play, like, where his first read is. Like, am I looking at the safety? Yeah. Am I looking at the linebacker? Where's my hot? But it could also just be watching film. And I don't think CJ in year four is literally going an entire, what, the last game was mid-January, through this point in mid-August, 7 months, and not doing anything on the mental side, whether it be studying film or otherwise. Like, I just – I I mean, I guess anything is possible, as Kevin Garnett told us. But like, I just don't see that as a possibility that C.J. Stroud would literally spend an entire offseason and not do any work on the mental side. So I think people are taking this answer from C.J. and kind of, well, maybe almost shaping it to their own narrative. Because at times people, I think, are, you know, like see, like the decision making from CJ Stroud. Obviously, the Patriots game,
S2.
Like, there's a lot with CJ already built in with poor decision making. Maybe not so bright because of the S2. And they hear this answer, like, "See, he's not prepared mentally." Yeah. I just think it's a, they're it's kind of trying to force this into the narrative that people already have a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. This to me, and most of what happened, what is happening currently, and you know, the last, I don't know, month or so, last 7 months, really, it's just like, we just need CJ Stroud to play games. Like, yeah, we just really like none really of this, do. None of this is great. I mean, even after his rookie year, that off season of going on the podcast tour, the world tour with Micah Parsons, like that wasn't a great offseason.
No, especially when he called himself the third best quarterback in the league.
Yes, but during that offseason, basically until that pocket, like until like August or maybe like June, July, where the tone shifted a little bit here, but it was like, yep, you can do what you want. When you had that type of season, like that was viewed positively in the moment. And it was obviously now everyone's like, that was terrible what he did. And it's just that perception of his offseason is shaped purely off the fact he had a good rookie season the year before. And it is viewed negatively because he had a bad year, a disappointing year two, and a disappointing year three.
We shape everything through the lens of what he just did on the field.
If CJ Stroud goes out there and is, you know, second team all pro at quarterback this year, like has a Drake May level leap, then guess what? We actually, without irony, will call this the best offseason of his career.
Yeah, without irony.
It is just
Serio proven right.
It is just purely you have to do it on the field. Like, yeah. None of this matters.
So one more bit of audio from C.J. Stroud. Kurt Warner was at camp, I think about 2 weeks ago. It was the first week of camp. And had this exchange back and forth with C.J. Stroud about preparing mentally after what happened to end their season against New England.
Yeah, I mean, I just think system things, you know, working, you know, with the O-line on protections, pocket movement, throwing on the run was a big one for that game. So those are all things I attacked in the offseason and, you know, got to go back to L.A. with my trainers and really, you know, go hard on it. And I really didn't take a break. So right after the game, I probably took like a day off and I flew home and then came and got right back to work.
I mean, didn't take a day off. He's working on protections. He's working on the scheme.
Sounds like the mental side of it.
Sounds like he's working on his game. Like, I don't know what we're doing.
Sounds like mental reps.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I get it because he was one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in a long time for two games in January. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think you made a great point earlier, Sean. Like, we're taking now, because of that, anything he says, I'm filtering it through that lens. Like, on its own, if CJ had been good last year and just average in the playoffs, like the Chargers games keep referencing, like if he's just average like he was against the Chargers, then this clip probably doesn't even get clipped by anybody on social media, much less end up on a show like this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think it is just, I mean, it's the same thing with walking into the facility with the baggy shirt and baggy shorts, like, none of this happens. Like,
that might be the best example of how we're treating Stroud this season. Just, like, if he'd been good against the Patriots,
yeah, it's just that does not happen.
It has that video has like 10% of the views it has,
500,000 views instead of 1%
of the comments that it has.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
no one cares.
You're seeing a different version of that with Jaden Daniels right now with the five thing. We're like at this point, like you have like the National Park Service like
are they taking shots?
Yes, there's some like whatever I know starts in 4 days and they're like, we waited a day so Jaden Daniels doesn't get hit.
I know every Major League Baseball team has made the jokes. It's like it's just score. Like I think it was the Rays. They had four runs. They hit a 2-run homer. It's like, we skipped five out of respect to Jaden Daniels.
The Department of the Interior said National Park Week starts in 4 days. We're gonna announce this yesterday, but out of respect, we waited.
The joke is officially jumped the shark.
It's a picture of some American bison.
The joke, it's jumped the shark at this point.
Yeah.
With the National Park Service is taking shots. Like it's a wrap. Yeah, it's a wrap. We're good.
I think anyone, like, any social media person.
You're too late to the game now.
Yeah, you missed it.
You're late. Yeah, the window's over, buddy. All right. We'll get to that Mendoza audio finally in the next segment. Don't forget, 11:30, we'll play Will AJ Know for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the ESPN 97.5 Listener Party, which is coming up Friday, August 28th at St. Arnold's Brewery. That'll be at 6:30. Food provided by Nefa's, Tiff's Treats, and Ducky McSweeney. So make sure to stay tuned for that. Your chance to win on the HRMP Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You can also call in, talk Texans. We can make fun of Fernando Mendoza together. Or if you want to talk Astros, we'll unfortunately probably get into that 11:15. We'll see. I don't really want to talk about the Astros, but it is what it is. 1 hour to go. Della Alea Show, Brian and Sean filling in, ESPN 97.5.